The Click and Go Travel Podcast, fueling your wanderlust with far-flung, off-the-beaten-track destinations to just across the water and everything in between.
Welcome back to the Click and Go Travel Podcast. We continue our cruise series, Choosing the Right Cruise Line for You with Virgin Voyages. In studio with Paul and I are Matt LeBurne and Kaylee Hilton from Virgin Voyages. Hi, Matt. Hi, Kaylee. Hiya, Paul.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, Paul.
Hi.
Very much.
And lovely to have you both on our podcast today talking about Virgin Voyages. Really, really good. Great brand. Very exciting disruptor, innovator in the cruise line business.
Thank you for having us. No, we're excited
Absolutely.
To be here. Thank you.
Yeah. And we're very excited about learning about Virgin Voyages. And maybe to start off, can you tell us the story behind Virgin Voyages?
Yeah, of course. So Virgin Voyages is probably a name in the industry that either people have only just heard or maybe haven't heard yet. So we're probably the newest kids on the block is what we like to say. The idea of Virgin Voyages has actually been around probably for close to 50 years, but has only really materialized in very recent years. So if I'm honest, Richard Branson, the mastermind behind the Virgin Group, has always wanted a cruise line. And obviously Virgin as a company are used to going in and really finding a marketplace to disrupt. So he's always really wanted to do it within the cruise industry. And it's only very recently that dream became a reality when Virgin Cruises, as it was known at the time, was founded in 2014. Now, at that point, we knew it was going to be a cruise line. We didn't really know at this point too much what it was going to look like. So the years to follow genuinely were, I think, a mind-blowing amalgamation of what we really love about cruising, what we would love to change about cruising. So, you know, there were a lot of sessions in rooms with whiteboards writing down, okay, what should the crew uniform look like? What cutlery do we want? What itineraries would we like to go to? What colour should this dining room be? Do we even have a dining room? Do we get rid of buffets? You know, absolutely all of these ideas were really kind of talked through in meeting rooms and in a bit of a thought process to see how we can really create something that's not just a cruise, but actually a voyage, which is why today we are now known as Virgin Voyages rather than Virgin Cruises, because it's a completely unique experience. So a little bit of a backstory. We're definitely the newest kids on the block. So we started actually sailing in 2021. It was due to be a little earlier, but I won't mention what happened in the year prior. So we ended up sailing a little later. Much like everyone else at the time, with cruises to probably not very exciting destinations or cruises to nowhere. But what we're really proud of in that space of time is that it's gone from one ship with, you know, three night voyages from the UK to three ships, soon to be four, with a near global deployment and an absolute wealth of international accolades behind us. So really, really excited about what we've been able to achieve in a very short window, but also what's still
wow.
to come.
So only 3 years old in terms of sailing. But I guess years and years and years in the planning.
That's it, yeah. So I think everyone still thinks, as you know, Virgin Voyages as being just a couple of years old. But actually, when you look at kind of when the company was technically founded, it's over 10 years old already. So, you know, it's been a long time in the planning, you know, thinking through what the ships look like, where we put the ships, how many passengers they take, you know, all of the extra gimmicks that make Virgin Voyages, Virgin Voyages, but also really how we can completely disrupt the industry. So I'd like to say that we've done a good job so far.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, I was just listing off, like, between, well, more or less this year, like in our own office, I think we've had nearly the guts of 10 of the staff on your ships. And that's really important for us because that then allows us to experience it, because it is all about experiencing it. You know, the brand firsthand. And one of the great things about this series of podcasts, it really shows how cruise lines are, you know, pitching in a market to an audience with a very clear, very clearly defined proposition. And then it enables us to kind of match that consumer to the right cruise line. So it really is brilliant. And I can well believe it takes 7 years, you know, from planning to execution, because It is so different, but we'll come on to that because I think that's almost your next question, Jill.
So in terms of call-outs, what are the points of note or points of that differentiate Virgin Voyages to other cruise lines?
I think one of our main points that we have is how much is included in your voyage fare. So when you look at our voyage fares, sometimes they may seem a little bit higher than some of our competitors, but that's not taking into account how much you really get with that fare. So we have what we call always included luxury. And in that is over €1,000 worth of extras included in your voyage costs. So you have your 20 plus eateries on board, and these are all speciality venues, and you don't have to pay anything extra to dine in any of them. And I must say, the food is incredible in each and every single one of those as well. You have all of your tipping included. So when you go to the bar, you don't have to pay an additional service charge. There is no 18.5% added to your receipt. It's always included on there for you. So there's no sort of hidden charges on that. Your Wi-Fi is included as well. So you can really keep connected with everybody at home or at work. And the Wi-Fi is really good. So it doesn't matter how much I call Matt and tell him I can't work on board when I'm working. He knows I'm lying because the Wi-Fi is great. And then no you get excuse. Your... no excuses whatsoever. Yeah. And then you get your group fitness classes, which you've got everything from yoga on the perch up to your boy band fitness classes, where I've recently learned the whole moves to NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye. I'm going to lie. That's great.
Wow.
And also your essential drinks. So anything you need on board in terms of your Coca-Colas, your sodas, waters, that's always included in your fare. So when you go to the bar and buy a drink, you don't need to pay for any of that. If you're buying a gin and tonic, your tonic's already included for you. So it's really great. You get all of that already included in your price.
Brilliant.
So that's definitely, I think, just to kind of expand on that a little bit, and Paul, you mentioned something that was so key for us, which is that kind of real experience piece. Now, we're a cruise line that typically doesn't really have like a physical gimmick, right? Or like an asset, aside from our beautiful ships, of course, that we can really focus on, because so much is experience led. And that is really where we've kind of gone in with this quite disruptive approach, or tried to kind of rip up the rule book a little bit. So from an onboard experience, we made, I think, what a lot of people would probably say was a risky move by making all of our ships adults only. Now, I think at the time people thought, this is bizarre. Why would you cut off such a huge, target audience? But actually, Richard's vision was to really create like an adult's retreat or like an adult's playground, essentially, which is why on our ships, you'll find a lot of like throwbacks to kind of the 80s and the 90s with arcade kind of Sega parks and like record studios as well, a social club. And what he really wanted to do was just create that atmosphere without the need of completely changing the vision of the brand to allow for children as well. So there's actually obviously nothing against kids. Actually 50% of our sailors actually have kids of their own. What we wanted to do is enable the adults to enjoy, Michelin star curated menus, these incredible bar menus, completely festival style lineup of entertainment without the need of moving away from that to cater for kids too. So it's just offering something completely unique.
Yeah. And I think just even from my own experience talking to people on board, because when we were on, I was just very curious to find out from the other guests what was their reason. And to a one, the first call out was it's adult only. And like you say, they have kids. So, they're going in December or November out of Lauderdale down to the Bahamas and into the Caribbean with the kids on a different cruise line. But there are no kids here because, as they said themselves, if we want to have a holiday, the last thing I want is other people's kids around me. The last thing I want is kids, period. For a very large audience, I think I'm surprised that other cruise lines, I know other cruise lines make a pitch to the family market and fair play. Like that is great. And that's what we're looking for. And we're looking for that level of difference of brand and different of proposition. But it is great to have one cruise line that is there kind of going, okay, there's nobody under 16. On board the ship, you're not going to have clathers of kids running into you anywhere on board the ship. And it creates a different atmosphere. It creates a much more relaxed atmosphere. And it was tons of people who don't have kids, like me, who, quite frankly, and quite honestly and brazenly, I don't want to see kids if I'm on holidays.
Well, that makes two of us.
Like, let's just call a spade a spade. Like, that's it. Like, I'll go to the filter and I'll pick adult only. And they're the hotels that I will look for, or I will pick Kids Club and I will go, okay, avoid them. There's a very large audience that, chooses when to. Now, if I'm traveling with my nieces, well, then, it's a different story. I will look for something different and I look for something that very much suits them in terms of what we're doing. But when it comes to your own holidays, no, it's your time, your money, absolutely, your spend, your enjoyment.
And do you know what, Paul, you've summarized that perfectly. And it's a conversation that often comes up by, a lot of the trade and also our sailors as well, of, would you ever pivot on that decision? Like if you could go back, would you do the same thing again? And yes, we absolutely would, because it's become such a iconic feature of our brand where I'll be honest, I'm not going to shy away from it. When we first announced it, I think people thought, why? Like, you know, what does that mean? Adults only, it sounds risky. But actually, when you explain it and these people experience it for themselves, it makes complete sense. You know, even just something as simple as sitting by the pool without getting splashed with somebody jumping in, you know, or the sound of little pattering feet whilst you're trying to sunbathe. Like, it's just, it's no longer an issue. So it's something, I think, where exactly to your point, you know, they will still cruise with their family, but this is the option that's become, you know, really cemented in their mind for when they want to get away on their own.
Yeah, I think it's a brave decision, but it's the right decision. And we can see it as one of the growth areas for our land-based side of the business, for the Sun Holiday side of the business. Mm. And the hotels that offer that option are charging a premium.
Yeah.
You know, they're providing, you know, a better, more exclusive environment, and they're actually charging more for it, and consumers are happy to pay for it because, once again, it's different target audiences, different markets. And I think it was, like, as I said, every single person I spoke to, that was almost the first thing they said. And then, Kaylee, they went straight to the food, straight to the inclusions.
It always comes down to the food. And I'm an expert on everything in the food.
It was just lovely because, like, they didn't know, you know, that I was from the travel industry. They weren't kind of, and we didn't ask the questions in a very kind of pointed way. It was just really trying to get a feel for what was their rationale. And, you know, Virgin Voyages, even though it's 2021 sailing, it's newer in this market. It really only launched in Ireland this year properly in terms of the Irish market. So it's a very new concept to the Irish consumer. But I think there's tons of Irish consumers who are going to be really excited by this, be it that they sailed before, because what also struck me was the number of sailors on board who had sailed with you before. And maybe that was just the Irish thing of thinking, oh, but this is so new. Like, it, for us, it was born in 24. For you, it was born in 21. But those consumers really already have loyalty to the brand and what it stands for, which, again, I think is a really good thing to see because it gives us confidence, because it is all about having that range of product for consumers. And it was great chatting to Clea during the week in terms of just getting an understanding of the growth and the importance of having a cruise line and a cruise ship for everybody. And that, I think, is what it talks to.
Yeah, absolutely. No, 100%. And just going back to one last point, really, to Jill's question there as well, is the things that obviously, you know, we've talked about that are experience-led, but really kind of set us aside. These are things that may sound odd because, it's what most cruise lines would do. So, you know, simple things like a ship photographer, captain's announcements, formal nights, champagne waterfalls, art auctions, midday announcements on navigational days. They don't exist. Main dining rooms and buffets, they don't exist. So we've really come up with a completely different experience of saying what we really wanted to do was create a very much like a super yacht inspired or boutique hotel inspired ship, but not just from a visual aspect, but also the genuine atmosphere on board. And that was really created by exactly to what I was saying at the start. A lot of people sat in a room talking about the things they liked and the things they didn't like, and really creating this hybrid between two to create a completely unique experience. So, you know, appreciate that some people will love a formal night. Personally, if I'm going on a holiday, I definitely don't want to pack a suit with me.
Nope.
So for me, it's absolutely perfect. Yeah. But I really do think it's something very unique.
And I think that's what's important, because, like, what we don't need is a new brand coming into the market that doesn't stand out, isn't differentiated, or doesn't disrupt in some way. And in line with what you were saying about the no announcements and the no formal dining and the no formal night, I even found the language on board very different, because cruise lines, I think, you know, they've grown up and they've kind of complicated things over the years, and they've created their own language and their own almost, I don't know, it is language, but it's more than language. It's kind of their own identity, but it's almost like a little bit exclusive to the rest of the traveling public. So when you're a first timer taking a cruise, you're a little bit kind of at a disadvantage because you're not quite sure what it is. But everything is much more informal, much more laid back. I found the service from, you know, your crew members, your staff members, like, just brilliant. I loved the uniforms, the informality, the helpfulness. Like, for me, my background is marketing, and I just love when brands really go deep and bring it to the public. And then the consumer now, in terms of experiential holidays, they identify with that. I think that audience of younger cruisers and people who haven't cruised before will find it much more easy to identify with Virgin Voyages as a first time to get them on board. And I have to say, if you guys get them on board, it's going to be very hard to get them to the other brands.
Do you know what, Paul? I don't want to blow our own trumpet, but we're already seeing it, which is great news. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. The piece that you said the most that really resonated with me so clearly was the informality, because the service is still incredible and still a really, really high level. But what we're doing is just removing that kind of stuffiness almost. You know, you will never get called sir or madam on one of our ships. The crew will always talk to you like they're friends. You know, they're allowed the visible tattoos.
Yes.
You know, it's such a Virgin philosophy to really allow our crew to be exactly who they are, show their individuality. Because, and as corny as it sounds, you know, happy crew makes every other element of that holiday so much easier.
And you know,
because if you don't have a happy crew, you fall at the service element.
And that's a very subtle thing, but I think it's very important, that non-traditional, what somebody should look like when they're on a ship in terms of the staff and the crew, that was just blown away. You know, it was all shapes and sizes, but with an absolute consistency around, I'm me, and these are my tats, and do you like them, and this is my jewellery, do you like it, and this is, and the whole vibe, like it wasn't pigeonholing people. It was really, you know, speaking to the person. And I think that also resonates with the experience piece. And I think that's what's very exciting about the brand. And I think that's what will, you know, bring the loyalty to the brand and that resonance with the consumer.
Yeah, really exciting. Yeah. Very different. Very, like, you haven't cruised. You're one of the few who hasn't this year.
This year. No, I haven't.
Yet.
Next year, maybe. Great. And then just in terms of what are the core destinations with Virgin Voyages?
The Virgin Voyages idea is that we wanted to mirror those itineraries that are typically sailed by super yachts. So we've put those together and we feature a lot longer port stays, and we've got these incredible overnight stops so that the sailors can really, I suppose, take a deep dive into each of those destinations. So in terms of Europe, we've got our Western Med itineraries, and they sail from Barcelona and Rome. And they've been probably our most popular itineraries for this season. So we visit destinations such as Cannes and Corsica and Santorini. And of course, our very famous overnight in Ibiza, which gives everyone the chance to get off the ship and go and party. There's no curfew. You can crawl back on at 10 a.m. the next morning if you want to. But also you can spend a lovely evening just relaxing in Ibiza and taking in some of the sights and sounds of the old town as well. And then we've got our sort of Eastern Med itineraries, which are more Greek Isles, sailing from Athens. And we've got that amazing overnight again in Mykonos. And for next year, we've got overnights in Istanbul as well. So it's really great that we're expanding those destinations. So on these itineraries, we can visit some of Europe's most incredible places, such as Santorini. We've got Corfu in there, and you can get all of the breathtaking views that those ports have to offer. And our port stays really are a lot longer than most typical cruise lines. So, for instance, in Dubrovnik, we don't leave until 2 a.m. So you don't have to rush back to the ship. You can get off later on in the day, go and enjoy your time onshore, and then come back on board and have some amazing food with us. And then our Caribbean itineraries, which sail from both Miami and San Juan, and they head off to some of the really amazing islands Caribbean has to offer. But when you join us in Miami, the sailor journey starts really from the moment they step into our purpose-built terminal in Miami. So we've actually got Terminal V, and that is just purposely built for Virgin Voyages passages. So you can really get on there and enjoy the holiday straight away. And then most of our Caribbean itineraries, they sail into the beach club at Bimini, which is really, really popular among our sailors. And you've got amazing cabanas there. You've got DJ-led pool parties. You've got complimentary food all day. So it really gives that Virgin beach club vibe that we have. And then more excitingly, as Brilliant Lady, our new ship, joins us next year, we are taking on the globe a little bit more as we go across the east coast of the US. And in spring 2026, we have also got a full Panama Canal transit, for which Brilliant Lady has been specially built for. And then we've also got our West Coast cruises, so sailing over some more sort of San Diego, San Francisco, getting those California areas in. And then very recently announced in summer 2026, we are going to be sailing Alaska as well. So it's really great to see that we are going super global now.
On sale 13th of November, shameless plug.
you're allowed shameless plug. Delighted to hear you guys are doing Alaska. And Jill, just talking to Kaylee's point there about the time in port, I think that is something that is, again, really worth pulling out and calling out for Virgin Voyages, because you know, as the sailor, you want time in the destination, and you maybe want to stay on the ship during the day and then get off in the evening time and just, you know, take a break from what you're doing on board and experience the destination, or have that full day or that overnight in the destination. Typically, the cruise lines give you relatively short days, yeah. as you know,
yeah.
in at 7 or 8 in the morning, back on board 5, 6 o'clock yeah. and getting out of the port right away. That doesn't suit the sailor. That doesn't suit the customer. The customer wants to experience.
No, it can be quite tiring getting up early in the morning, can't it? So it's really nice that we've got that sort of later call in and then later departure. So you don't have to be up at 7 o'clock yeah. in the morning to get off the ship to feel like you've yeah. had that full day and in the destination.
And you're on
exactly
holidays,
to that like, point as well. One of the things that we really wanted to do is, you know, obviously our dining facilities on board are incredible, but we also really wanted to, you know, give the sailors the opportunity to experience as much of that kind of local culture as possible, which, as we know, especially in the Med, really comes to life at night. And it's usually the part that you'd miss the most, because you're rushing back on board for 4:30 and then, you know, you have dinner on board, and before you know it, you sail away, you've missed the sunset, and it's on with the next day. So what we've done is really try to kind of do the opposite to what other cruise lines are doing. So rather than getting in early, like Santorini as an example, usually it can be a very busy port in summer. So what we prefer to do is arrive in at 11 and leave at 11, because you'll miss all of that cruise ship traffic in the morning with people getting off. But just as you're in the flow of your day, everybody's coming back to the ship. And then, you know, you've got the evening in Fira to enjoy the sunset, and you're the only ship still in. So it just gives you so much more time. And exactly to Paul's point around some people having these shorter days, you know, in Dubrovnik, you arrive in at 8, you leave at 8. You know, it's a full 12 hours to go and explore. So we've really tried to maximise that kind of import experience as much as possible.
And I think that, you know, again, comes back to the experience and those itineraries. Like, we were on Resilient Lady, and we did from Athens up to Split, then onto Dubrovnik, KOTOR and Corfu. Amazing destinations yeah. in the Adriatic, like just stunning. But having the length of time just gave you the opportunity to get on and get off as you wanted, and to enjoy it much more. Like, rather than just feeling I'm in and out, you actually got to experience the destination and enjoy it, which was just wow. And I think again, that's part of the being different piece. I think, not wishing, you know, anything negative, but like, I think the other cruise lines are going to obviously be looking at you guys and paying attention and thinking, okay, we're getting everybody back on board so we can open the casino and open the shops. But maybe from a consumer enjoyment point of view, we should focus a little bit more on the customer and think, what does the customer want?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't always take that length of time to sail from A to B. And the customer is kind of being rushed through a destination. And one of the great call outs from cruising in general is just to experience those destinations and not to feel you're on a conveyor belt, but to have time to enjoy it. And like, you're not gonna see Ibiza unless you overnight. You're not really going to experience Mykonos unless you do an overnight. And Istanbul, I can't imagine. Like, that is going to be spectacular to have an overnight
yeah,
there.
We're very excited yeah. to have
and
that
then,
joining
you
us.
You know, it's more of the difference, I think, which is really, really important and really good to hear. Mm. Let's talk about the fleet.
And do you know what, just...
Sorry, go on, Matt.
Oh, sorry, but no, I was just going to say just one sort of final point exactly to your comments there as well, is, you know, similarly to like embarkation and disembarkation, and this is something that if you've not cruised, you probably wouldn't consider, but if you have cruised, you know, it can be frustrating, which is, oh, my check-in time is, I don't know, usually at 12 o'clock. But if I'm disembarking, I'm going to have to be out of my cabin by 7:30 or 8 o'clock. What we've actually done is, to, you know, on a 7-day cruise, usually it's only 5 because people are very tired on the first day from traveling. And, they know they've got to be up early on the day of disembarkation. What we've actually done is actually put in a new plan of embarkation, which doesn't really start until 2 o'clock, which means that when you're disembarking, you actually don't need to leave, be out of your cabin until 10:30, which is very, very late in comparison to any other cruise line. And what that allows us to do is, in typical Virgin fashion, on the first night, if people are feeling tired, we re-energize them. We have a pajama party on our ships every first
I know,
night
I had to go and buy a pair.
There we go. So I hope you enjoyed some cookies in the party as well. And then on the last night of the cruise, we always have kind of like a bit of a penultimate evening. So it's really, you know, kind of everybody's chance to put on their best and party together. Just obviously knowing that they've got more time, you know, in the morning the next day. So it's just those little things that usually you wouldn't consider until you've actually experienced it. And you think, gosh, this is completely different to what anybody else does.
Yeah. And I think that is really good. Like, in terms of disembarkation, whilst 10:30 sounds early, the normal is kind of 7:30, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. which isn't ideal because you often feel on a cruise, God, they really love me. They really love me until the last day.
Yeah.
And then they want shut of you.
Time's game.
PDQ. And you're going, oh my God, you know, like it's my holidays. Like just be a little bit considerate. I can't be getting up that early.
Yeah, I don't even get up at that time for work.
But the ships themselves, in terms of the fleet, like I think the other standout things for me are the look and feel of the ship. You know, like they are very different. Like they, you know, that gunmetal grey, that virgin red, it's very striking. It kind of calls out more of the brand piece, which I think consumers like in terms of that differentiation point. You talk to us about the fleet and tell us a little bit about the fleet.
So the fleet, obviously, we've got obviously soon to be four ships. So for the most part, they are almost all identical, minus some subtle differences. But our ships, dependent on your definition, are not large ships. So all of our ships take 2,700 passengers. So they're kind of mid-size. In terms of their tonnage, though, they could, if filled to capacity in terms of cabin accommodation, take over 3,000. So what we decided to do was actually decrease the capacity limit to actually increase the amount of public space on board, which is why we have so many different venues around our ships. So even if you're on a sailing that's full, at no point do you ever really feel like it's full. You really wouldn't know if the ship was at maximum capacity or half full, because the kind of flow of the traffic around the ship is so well kind of split up through all of the venues that we have. So it's been really, really carefully thought through. In terms of kind of the nods to Virgin that make us a little bit unique, and there's one that always really stands out to me, which was our product director, Jamie, who was one of the visionaries behind the brand, was in a hotel actually in Sydney, looking out at the dock and looking at a ship, and thought, if that was ours, what is going to stick out, minus a logo, what is going to make it completely unique? And the idea at the time, which was completely alien, that popped into his head was a bright red hammock on every single balcony. And as you can imagine, it was a lot of legal work to do on getting that across the line, a lot of health and safety. But it's become something that is completely iconic now to our ships. And it's funny, you'd look at a picture of a ship, and the minute you see that red hammock, you know, without even seeing a brand or a name, you know exactly whose ship it is. So it's something that we're really, really proud of. But just also little nods that we've made to, you know, to various sort of aspects. Everywhere throughout the ship, there will be a nod to kind of nautical terms or the sea. So nearly everywhere on board, you'll always have a sea view. Things will be named or themed after the sea. But also down to, and I'm going to probably get the terminology of this wrong, but there are kind of build frames throughout the ship. And people always say, what does that line mean? And it's due to how you actually construct a ship, but we bring it to life so that it's a talking point. So there's a lot of kind of small nods that most people would just gloss over because it's not deemed as pretty or interesting. But actually, we really try and bring that nautical aspect to life on board. So they are very, very different. I will be honest, when people see like grey and red, they're like, whoa, what's that? And then the minute you see the Virgin logo, and that's the best thing, because you could look at any ship and without seeing the livery, sometimes you're not sure whose ship it is. Without any doubt, you see one of ours, you know exactly whose ship
it
is.
You do. Like the grey is striking. And the red is just like, it's just such a great contrast. And it was interesting because I was down in Spain recently and we were driving from Malaga up to Almeria for a conference. And I saw one of the Virgin ships in the bay and I'm going, what's that doing there? And then I was kind of going, Mairead, something happened. Like I was driving back from the conference and the ship is there. And then Mairead goes, that's the new ship. They're just testing it out. It's going through all its trials. Yeah. So I have actually seen Brilliant, I think. Yes.
Yeah, you've definitely had an exclusive.
But, yeah. And it's not just me being kind of a travel geek or a cruise geek or something, but it is just so identifiable. Like it is just so recognizable rather. Mm. And so soon, like you can go, that's a Virgin ship. That's Virgin Voyages.
And it's that's the thing that's become quite iconic with us, is not just even the name, but the colour. Mm. You know, it's the minute that you see that red, you really resonate with, you know, exactly what brand that is. And, you know, hence why, do we want to make the whole ship red? No, we don't. No. But everywhere you go throughout the ship, we'll have a nod to red. So we don't have a formal night, but instead we have a scarlet night, right? Which is like our answer. And, you know, it's a great activation around the ship and finishes with this incredible pool party up on top deck. But again, it's scarlet night because everyone has to wear their splash of red. So it really does look incredible. You know, all of the balconies are lit up red, all of the corridors are lit up red, everything indoors is lit up red. We have a huge inflatable red octopus on deck for Scarlet Night, you know. So we really try and bring those like nods through to Virgin really throughout the whole ship. And even outside of Voyages, you know, you'll find nods to the other Virgin companies.
Yeah.
You know, throughout our ship as well. One of the sort of founding companies at Virgin was Virgin Records. And, you know, we've got our own record store on board on all of our ships as well. So you'll always find those nods to the brand as opposed to just Voyages.
And what type of customer does Virgin Voyages suit?
Typically, I think most people would assume that we would suit like an 18 to 30s type of customer. But actually, when we look at our average age on board, it's actually between 44 to 47. So 18 to 30 only accounts for about 10% of our sailors. So it's really different to what people think, which is great. So we are definitely attracting an older audience that really just want to come on and they're young at heart and have fun. 70% of our sailors are around about age 35 to 55. So we've got a really great age range there of people that are just getting away on holiday, there to relax, but also just want a bit of that Virgin fun thrown in for them as well. When you think of our typical customers, actually 50% of our sailors do actually have children. So it's either that they are from a multi-generational family and, you know, someone my age is coming on with mum and dad to have fun. I know mum wants to desperately get on board soon. or you've got people that have just left the kids at home and they just want a week of peace and quiet, I guess. Well, depends how peace and quiet you think Virgin is. So it's really great. I mean, we've got a really good age range on board. The sailors absolutely love it. And as I said, it's really not what people think it is when you get on the ship. It's not that party environment. It's not that set for 18 to 30s typical holiday. We have something that really is for everybody on board.
I'd agree, Kaylee, with what you said there. It's young at heart. Like it was quite an age spread when I was on. And it's a long time since I've seen 30. So, but it was a brilliant, brilliant vibe. And, you know, I was way off being the eldest. So, and quite some distance off being the youngest. So it was a really, it surprised me, the age range, but it was very much an age range. But I think it was maybe an outlook or a kind of attitude that was relaxed, casual, and up for a bit of fun, up for a bit of crack and looking to enjoy their holiday. And have, you know, great food, great service, luxury, but informal.
Yeah.
Paul, you can absolutely say the best summary.
Checks in the post.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, you'll put you on the payroll. No, you've absolutely just taken the words out of my mouth in terms of the young at heart is definitely kind of the mindset.
Well, that's
Kaylee.
That's a lot of us. I was just picking up on it because it is, I think that exactly sums it up. So you don't have to be 18 to 30. You can be whatever age you want, so long as you have an attitude to enjoy and an attitude to experience and like nice things. It's going to work.
And like fun.
Yes. Really important.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what are the future plans for Virgin Voyages? I know Brilliant Lady's coming out soon, but is there anything after that?
So I've been sworn to secrecy. No, I'll give you the tea. So at the moment, we've got our fourth ship joining very, very soon, which is obviously Brilliant Lady. So what that's really allowing us to do is, you know, really grow from a deployment perspective. So as we were saying earlier, really starting from the UK with cruises to probably not so exotic destinations, or in some cases, nowhere, to really kind of opening up the Mediterranean and then also going further afield to the US. So Brilliant's going to allow us to open up our deployment to our existing base, but also target new customers completely because of the deployment that she's doing. So obviously, Kaylee was saying earlier, she's going to start in New York. She'll make her way down to Miami, transit through the Panama Canal, do a season on the West Coast in California, and then finish up in Alaska. So when I say what the future holds and I say is growth, I'm talking both as a brand, but also from a deployment and onboard experience piece. And this ties back to something you referenced earlier, Paul, which is in a very short space of time, we have accumulated a very loyal customer base. Now, what we don't want to do is say, oh, okay, you were only on a Virgin Voyage 3 months ago and you come on board and, you know, the experience is nearly identical. So whilst we are very confident in our product and love it, we know it is a continuously evolving piece. You know, we need to keep our menus fresh. We need to keep our entertainment varied. We need to look at perhaps things that might need a bit of improvement and, you know, and change them and make those small tweaks with deployment as well. So not only are we, you know, staying fresh and innovative for our existing customer base, but also allowing us to really offer something, you know, very different for our new customers too. And just part of that, you know, Scarlet Lady seems crazy to think this, but she's just about to go in for a dry dock. And, you know, she's 3 years old, that's it. And, you know, you go on board and she's still like brand new, but, you know, we're having our coffee club up on deck 15. So in the evening, that's actually now going to transform into like a late night bar area as well. Razzle Dazzle is having an enhancement, which is going to offer this really nice, intimate, like Asian flair cuisine. They're having additional cabanas put on deck. You know, there's a lot of things that we're able to do to quite reactively to ensure that our product stays fresh. And Brilliant Lady transiting the Panama Canal is a prime example of that. She was never supposed to, but whilst she was still in, we decided to give her a little nip and tuck so that she was able to transit Panama and offer a completely new deployment.
I think that's great. Like in terms of the, you know, to keep the customers with the brand and to keep it interesting and exciting, it is just great to see more deployment. Like the Med and the Caribbean, I think out of this market will always be core. And new itineraries and pulling in Istanbul is great, but getting the likes of Alaska or New York where you can add on or you can do something else in Canada and join on is just really brilliant. And it's so important. It speaks to the belief in the brand and the expansion of the brand. And it comes back again to the cruise lines. Like I'm always in awe of the various cruise line partners we work with and how much they invest in their product and how passionate they are about their product. Like if we had our land-based hoteliers a quarter as passionate as our cruise line partners are in terms of delivery of great experiences, my God, we our business would be rocketing. But we love what you guys are doing. It's really exciting. It's really exciting to be part of it. We're really delighted. And the great thing is, with so many of the staff on board, the buzz in the office about Virgin Voyages is really good. The familiarity with talking to different audiences and being able to say to different age group audiences, no, this is perfectly suitable to you. This is exactly, you're going to enjoy this. Paul's been on it. He's 95. You know, Peter's been on. He's 45. And he got the Botox treatment when he was on. So, you know, so like, it's really, really exciting, really different. And I think it speaks volumes to what the cruise industry is about. And we love having a focus on a certain number of cruise lines, working really closely with them. The team then know what they're doing and how to match the right cruise with the right person, because that is critical. And we all want that in terms of the customer satisfaction piece.
And would you have any advice for someone who has never cruised before and looking to try it out?
I mean, I think there's nothing quite like being on a cruise and just waking up somewhere different, and you open your curtains and it's just a new destination every day. So I'd say cruising really is the way forward to holiday. So I guess my advice would be that, you know, if you like to travel without kids and you love great food every evening and getting those new culinary experiences that you wouldn't get elsewhere, and you really want to feel like a rock star and just be part of that cruising without the formality, or having a holiday at sea without the formality. And there's a lot of new experiences and incredible places that you're going to visit. And you want to be young at heart and really enjoy your holiday, then I guess, cruising and particularly on Virgin Voyages would be really the way forward to get a brand new destination and experience overall.
Brilliant. So thank you both very much for today.
No, thank you guys.
You know, we've just launched and it's on the website, our Cruise Hub. We have some great content from all of us who have been on Virgin Voyages this year. And we've had to kind of delay putting that out there because the Cruise Hub was coming and going and going. So it's there now, it's live. So all of the great stuff that Kathleen took when she was on earlier this year, a social media person that I was on and I took, and that Peter and Wendy were on, and like everybody else who's on, that's all going to be there. So it means that our customers, your customers, can kind of get to experience and get a preview of what the brand is like and what the proposition is like. So, and that along with today absolutely really helps all of us to experience that product and to enjoy the right holidays.
Great. Well, thank you very much for listening. And if you would like to follow us on our social media, we're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn. And if you have any suggestions for us, please email us at podcast@clickandgo.com. Great. Thank you so much, Matt and Kaylee. It was really, really, really great hearing all about Virgin Voyages.
Thank you guys. Our pleasure.
Thank you both so much. Really, really great.